I'd like to make an appeal to those tonight that are not happy. Those that don't know the Lord. Or anyone else that is not satisfied with where you are tonight in life. Think about words. I've heard a lot of words said in this meeting. A lot of people have talked, said a lot of things. Sometimes words can kind of run together in our minds and we don't really remember a whole lot sometimes. Sometimes so many words can be said to us that we've heard them so many times they just don't mean that much to us anymore. I know there's folks that feel like that. The words just lose their meaning. They have no effect upon me. They're just words. I've heard them before. I thought about parents and their little children. When you tell little Johnny once, twice, three, four, five times not to do something, but you don't do anything about it and he keeps on doing it, they just become words to him. They really have no effect. Well, you're not going to do anything to me, so I'm going to keep on doing it. Just words. My counsel tonight is when you're raising children to be consistent. When you speak to them and tell them not to do something or to do something, follow it up. Because if you don't, it will soon just become words to the children. I told this somewhere, I don't remember where, but not too long ago, my youngest son his wife had gotten some new living room furniture, and they moved the old furniture out, and when they did, they exposed a electrical outlet on the wall that he didn't know was there. He's a year and a half old. When he saw that thing, it just appealed to him. So he went over there and he first would stick his finger in it as far as he could get. And mommy and daddy would say something to him about it. And he'd just turn around and look at him. They wasn't doing nothing. So he'd turn back around and do it again. And I saw him do that about three or four, maybe five times. And Grandpa was getting a little irritated with his son and his wife. And I said, you folks do understand that he can go over there another time when you're not looking and stick something metal in there and possibly really hurt himself, electrocute himself with that thing. He's infatuated with that. So we got busy and we moved the other furniture in and covered it back up, and then he forgot all about it. You tell that little child, Johnny, don't do that. Well, of course, that's what Johnny wants to do. And you know, when we get older and we just hear the words, don't do that, and we realize that that thing is forbidden to us, that's what we want to do. It's hard to forget about it. It's hard to get it out of our mind, isn't it? Even though we think we know better, that's what really happens. We get the idea in our minds that even though you're telling me something's wrong, that I know better. You don't need to tell me what to do. How many people can you think of in the Bible or maybe in your life that you know that has gotten in trouble because they didn't listen to what they were told to do? A lot of people have gotten in trouble. Didn't Eve get in trouble because she didn't listen? When the devil came along and presented himself to her, it just was a bunch of words. Oh, you surely are not going to. Well, he told us we were going to die. Surely you're not going to. You're not going to die. And he began to give her words. And a lot of times, the words that are spoken to you by the last person that you talk to are the ones that have the greatest effect on you. You tend to forget the ones that you talked to before, but that last one has a pretty good effect on you. That's what happened to Eve. She heard God's words. And there was something in that garden, only one thing that was forbidden. Just one thing that was forbidden And the devil came along and he knew what that one thing was. And of course, that's what it was that he tempted her with, wasn't it? The devil hasn't changed its tactics today. He's doing things the same way with people. He's coming along in people's minds and he's bringing words or thoughts in your mind and telling you, you're not going to die. That's not going to hurt you. You can partake of that. You can do this. It's not going to hurt you. Well, they didn't have a funeral when Adam and Eve partook of that forbidden fruit, but they died.
That's right.
The Lord said, the day you partake of it, you'll surely die. And they died. They didn't have a funeral, but spiritually, folks, they were separated from the Lord, weren't they? Sin separates. No matter what you think may be best for you, when the Lord says, don't do it, you ought not to do it. Because he doesn't say that just because he doesn't want to see you enjoy yourself or have a good time or have fun or enjoy life, but he says it for a reason. He has a purpose why he tells us not to do something. And of course, most of us, maybe all of us, we don't like to be told what to do. How many of you really like to be told, don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. Hear that all the time. Words. And it seems like you can always find someone that's willing to give you a piece of their mind and give you some of their advice, whether you ask for it or not. I heard Brother Ed Wilson give a counsel to someone. He and I were dealing with the individual, and he said, I'm going to give you some advice, and he said, it's going to be worth about what you paid for it. And he gave him the advice. Why did he say that? Because he had learned that you can give people counsel and advice, and good counsel, and they still won't listen to it. So he acknowledged to them, it'll be worth about what you pay for it. It was free advice. We don't like to be told no. And so we've come up with a little saying today, what part of no don't you understand? I think Eve understood. I think Adam understood what part of no that God meant. I believe they understood what God meant. But the enemy came along. And he changed that all around and he got it confused in their minds. And that's what he's still doing today.
Right.
His tactics are still the same today as they was when he met Eve there in the garden. And he will come along and confuse words in our minds and confuse the thoughts. We may think we've got this thing down just right. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know how I'm supposed to do it. And the enemy can come along and confuse the whole issue. And that's what he does with us. I'd like to look at a man and consider him tonight. In the Word of God, a king. The first king of Israel, King Saul. The 15th chapter of Samuel. I want to skip around a little bit in the reading here, but I'll start at the first verse. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. I want you to listen to some words, Saul. And he didn't say these are my words. He said, they're the words of the Lord.
Yeah.
Have you ever had someone tell you, I'll do that when the Lord tells me to do it? Do you know sometimes the Lord works through human instrumentality to tell you what you need to do?
Yeah.
Sometimes he does that. And if your heart is closed to that, and you're saying, I'm not going to do it because you told me to do it. I'm going to wait till the Lord tells me to do it. Let me tell you something here in this little reading tonight. God was speaking to Saul through his servant Samuel. And the Lord was telling Saul what he wanted him to do. I'll do it when the Lord tells me to do it. Lord, help us tonight. I remember Brother Austis Wilson made a statement one time. He said, when the Lord sends a message, and he said, it may be the only message you get, along the line that he wants to deal with your heart. And you may not like the minister that's delivering that message, but you're still going to be responsible because it's the word of the Lord. And folks, when we leave this meeting, we're all going to be a lot more responsible because we've heard the word of the Lord. When we hear the word of the Lord, that's much more valuable than my words. It's more valuable than your words. When the ministers have stood up here, there has been no doubt in my mind that God has come down and he has met them and spoken to us his word and his thoughts. The Holy Spirit has ministered to us in this meeting. There's been no doubt about that. And I thank God for that tonight. The Lord's not going to come down here in person and minister to us, but he uses human instrumentality. And that's what he did here with King Saul. And he said here, "Hearken now, listen unto the voice of the words of the Lord. And thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Now, probably every one of us here tonight understand what the Lord said there. We understand what the Lord said, and we know what he meant. I believe that Saul understood the word of the Lord. And I believe that Saul knew what he meant. But as we follow this story here of Saul and how that he took the word of the Lord, they're just words. You ever heard of the saying, familiarity breeds contempt? Oh, we hear it so many times. Well, I've heard this preaching all my life. Ever since I was a little boy, this is what I've heard. But if we're not careful, I've also heard the minister say back when I was a boy, be careful that you don't get gospel hardened. That's what that means. Be careful that just because you've heard it over and over and time again, that you carelessly toss it out or become hardened to that and are not open to receive what the Lord is trying to say to your heart. Because from time to time, in your experience with the Lord and in your walk with life, you're going to find yourself going up and down with the things that you face in life. And the Lord's going to come to you at those different times and minister to the needs that you have. Keep your heart open to the words of the Lord. Be willing to accept however the Lord sends it. If you know it's from the Lord, if there is the anointing of His Spirit upon it, and you know that God is behind it, pay attention to the word of the Lord. Because there have been many that hasn't done it, and it's got them into a lot of trouble. That's what you get out of it. You get a lot of trouble. A lot of heartaches. A lot of sorrows. When you don't listen to the word of the Lord. Now down in the 8th verse, after they had went out to battle and fought against the Amalek, it said he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Well, he told them to destroy him, didn't he? But it says here that he took Agag, the king, alive. That's not what God said, is it? What wonder what part of this he didn't understand. I believe he understood it all. Same way that Eve understood it there in the garden. But it's when the devil always comes along to distort things in our mind. Always comes along and wants us to use our own human reasoning. Oh, we can get in so much trouble when we use our own human reasoning. We're seeing a lot of that today. People getting in trouble with God. Getting in trouble with their walk with the Lord because they're using their own human reasoning. So he kept the king alive and he destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. That's not the commandment of the Lord. The prophet stood before him and said, hear hearken unto the word of the Lord. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Folks, we know that God says what He means, and He means what He says, and you and I don't have the option or the liberty to change that in any way, shape, or form. We're dealing with God here. We're dealing with an eternal God, a God that you and I are going to stand before at the judgment and give an account of our deeds and our action and how that we've conducted ourselves and whether we've been obedient or not to whatever His word was to our hearts. We're going to give an account of that. He did not utterly destroy it, but God said utterly destroy everything. Don't keep any of the spoils, didn't He? And then it says in verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, nothing hid from God. When God tells us what to do or how to live or how to walk or gives us instructions, it's not hid from Him. If we're not willing to do it, He knows it. I mean, I can come and sit in the pew here in service. I can be in your congregation. I can worship with you from week to week. And you may not know it for a long time, but God knows it as soon as I've disobeyed His word. He knows it as soon as I've disobeyed His word. You don't hide those things from God. You can't hide anything from God. So, He called old Samuel. Poor old Samuel, he had to, what I call the dirty work. You know, there's every job I've ever had, there's been a lot of good things to do the job, and then there's always been some bad things on the job. I was a millwright for 30 years for General Motors, and I remember I've gone into work before, a troubleshooter at that time, and I have this two-way radio, not get a call all day. Not get a call, just sit around and read or talk to my buddies or whatever, not get a call all day. I've also had to go to work and they assigned me to work on one of those old, big old Delco special machines. Had to crawl underneath that through the hydromation fluid and take the gearbox out of there. And when I come out of there, I had to throw my clothes away at the end of the night. There's always good and there's always bad things that go with jobs. Samuel had to do both. He got to do the good things. He anointed Saul king. He anointed David king. But he had to do some of the dirty work too, didn't he? And so the word of the Lord came unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Oh, I tell you, we can get so confused sometimes what God has told us. The devil come along and somehow or another, Saul got it in his mind, I have kept the commandments of the Lord. I have done what the Lord had told him. Well, if he had done what the Lord had told him, Samuel wouldn't be standing before him right now. If he'd really done what the Lord had told him to do, Samuel wouldn't have been there right now. But the Lord sent him back and he said, it repenteth me that I have made him king. So he said here, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. I wonder if we try to bargain with God sometimes. When we know what He is telling us, when we understand what holiness is, and we understand what godliness is, and folks, if we don't understand those things, God will reveal them to you if you're seeking for it. And we need to understand what holiness and godliness is. Because we're living in a very unrighteous world today, in a world that it's a mockery to them to talk about holiness and righteousness and godliness. So somebody's got to stand up and be an example for God. And that's what you and I've been called to do. To stand up and be the example of holiness and godliness. What then, if you've done what God told you, you know, Samuel knew what God told him to do because he was the messenger. And if you did what God told you to do, how's come I hear all these animals out there? What, why is the sheep bleeding? Why is this? Why is that? Well then, next thing you know, Saul, he starts making his excuses. It never changes. When the Lord come down in the cool of the evening and met Adam and Eve there, they started making their excuses. Folks, when we know that God has spoken to our hearts and we don't do what God is asking us to do and He comes along again and He checks us out, what do we start doing? If we don't humble our hearts and we don't submit ourselves to His will, we're going to start making excuses. Adam made the excuse. He said, it's this woman that you gave me. She caused me to eat of this fruit. Saul, for the sake of time, Saul goes on down there and he said, the people pressed upon me. And he blamed it on the people. It's been a blame game ever since. Adam and Eve. Folks, you're going to stand, we're going to stand at the judgment for ourselves. And it's not going to do you any good. There's not going to be no blaming someone else. If you've hurt me or if I've got this bitterness because of what you've done to me or I'm carrying this unforgiveness around, it isn't going to do me any good at the judgment day to say, well, Lord, if it wasn't for her or if it wasn't for him, I'd have had everything all right. Not going to work that way. If it's not going to work that way, then it won't work that way now, folks. We need to have some honesty of heart tonight in how that we deal with the Lord and how that He deals, how we allow Him to deal with us. We need to have some honesty. Samuel said unto Saul, stay. And I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'll tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Sam. It's always Samuel saying what the Lord has said unto me this night. Not what I'm saying. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekite. But the people took of the spoil the sheep, the oxen, the chief things, which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. I'm really disappointed in the lack of humility in this king, in this man. Knowing he had done been found out, God had sent the prophet back to him to tell him, God's not happy with you. God knows you didn't keep his word that he had given you. And stand up in resistance and said, I have utterly destroyed. The only thing I didn't do was I didn't kill the king. And the people had a desire to keep the animals to sacrifice to the Lord. Oh, I tell you, folks, we get into trouble when we think we know better than what God knows. When the Lord allows you and I to go through a particular test, a particular trial, folks, He has a purpose. He wants to bring you through that and out of that on the other side with more understanding, with more humility, with more love, with more grace than you had before you went into it. And the only way that He's going to get it to you is to bring you through that place. But if I'm not willing to go through that place and I stand back and I argue with the Lord about it, I'm not going to get the benefits. I believe there are many that could be a lot higher up the road tonight if they would allow the Lord to do what He wants to do with them in their life. But sometimes we think we know better. I know better. Or I don't want to go that way. Well, I suppose Joseph would not have chose to go the way that he had to go. But God had a purpose. And he didn't realize it maybe until the end. But through his faithfulness, he made it through the end of his trial. And he realized at the end when his brothers came, he said, "You meant it for evil. But God had prepared me to be in a place that I could feed my people, feed God's people." See, we don't know what God has in mind. He is a sovereign God. He's not just looking at tonight. He's not just looking at tomorrow. We've heard it. I've heard in the meeting. There aren't any surprises with him. He knows what's down the road. He knows what's down the road. And he knows what you're going to have to go through and deal with. And he does his best to prepare us for that time when we get there. When we get there. If we'll listen. If we'll listen to the word of the Lord. I know he's a faithful God. I know he's faithful, folks. Have you ever been, those of us that drive, when you go down the highway and you are in a four-lane highway, you're in the right-hand lane, you want to go around some slow driver, and you look in your rearview mirror, or your side mirror here, and you don't see anything, so you pull out. How many of you ever pulled out beside me and almost run into the guy sitting right back here on my back bumper? I didn't see. There was a blind spot there. The devil is really good about blindsiding us. He's really good about coming along out of nowhere. Didn't realize, didn't know. And it seems he's so good about coming along and blindsiding us for something that we were not prepared for. Maybe some of you remember my little story. Many years ago, 40-some years ago, I worked for a private ambulance company up in Columbus, Ohio. I had to go through, at that time, it wasn't the paramedical type thing that they have today. It wasn't quite that extensive. But I had to go through a first aid course. And I had to go through an advanced first aid course, they called it. And I had to learn how to take care of patients in the back of an ambulance. We had the oxygen and we had all the different, the suction and all those kind of things as you're transporting a patient to the hospital. And I went to all the classes except the last one. Except the last class. I lived in Dayton and I was in Columbus at the time and I told the instructor, I said, "I sure would like to go home Friday night. Can I miss that last class and still get my certificate?" He said, "Yeah, I'll permit that." Well, one night in the middle of the, I worked nights at that job. I was working three jobs actually at that time. Daytime at the hospital and night there and weekend at a security guard. But anyhow, one night we get a phone call about 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning somewhere in there. And the lady told us that we needed to go to such and such an address. There was a woman in labor. Well, that night, when I went into work, the boss wrote up on the board who was the driver and who was the attendant. I was the attendant that night. The other fella got to be the driver. So we get into that house, and there's this woman laying on the bed, and she's probably remind me of what Katrina was last night. And she's laying there writhing on the bed, and I said, "Oh, my goodness," I said, "let's get her on the cart and get her to the hospital before the water breaks." And they said, "Oh, that happened about 30 minutes ago. I turned around to my buddy, and I said, "Hey, that was the last class that they taught, and I wasn't there. Get her on the cart now, and let's head to that hospital." That was the last class. Blindsided. Wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared for that. We put her in the back of that ambulance, and I told him, I said, "I know that you're not supposed to run the lights, but you turn those lights on, and you get there as quick as you can." Here I was. I was 20 or 21 years old. I said, "You get there as quick as you can. I'm back there in the back." And I said, "Don't you stop for one red light." I said, And I said, I'm back there, and she's moaning, and she's groaning, and she's pushing, and I'm saying, don't push, don't push. That's all I know to tell her. Don't push, don't push. Oh, don't do that. Got to get you to the hospital. You talk about unprepared. Folks, you know how a person feels whenever you get in a situation like that or any other kind of situation that you are not prepared for it? Folks, when the Lord comes along and He has something for you to do, something for you to face, a hard test to face in life, He will prepare you for it if you allow Him to do it. The Lord won't allow you to be blindsided like that. The Lord won't allow you to come into a circumstance like that. But I will finish the story. We made it to the hospital, and I did not have to help deliver a baby. And I sure thank God for it. Made it to the hospital before she had her baby. The Lord is so good to us. And sometimes, through our obstinance, through our rebellion, we don't want to hear the word of the Lord. Saul got into trouble. Samuel told him another time in King Saul's life here. He said, you go over here to, I forget now where it was, to go over here and you wait for me. They're getting ready to go out to battle. And he said, you wait for me, and when I get there, I'll offer a sacrifice to God before the people go out to battle. He didn't listen. He got over there. Samuel didn't show up. I don't know if Samuel's to blame for some of that or not. But Samuel wasn't there. And the people, they were getting restless. And they knew they were going out into battle. Didn't want to go out to battle without making a sacrifice to God. So they pressed upon Saul. And Saul said, well, bring in the animals. And he made a sacrifice. And just after he made the sacrifice, here comes Samuel. Here comes Samuel. And Samuel, you know, like, what are you doing? Well, he said, the people pressed upon me and I forced myself. You know, I think it's good counsel for young people, young married men, young married women. It's good counsel when an older saint comes along and gives you good counsel. It's good to listen to that counsel. Because it could save you from a lot of heartache and a lot of grief. It's good to listen to that counsel. It's good when you've got the benefit of someone with the experience that has been through it. They've been through the fire. They've been through the trial. And you've got someone with that kind of benefit and that kind of an experience. It would be very wise if you would take a little bit of advice if they have it to offer to you. People get in trouble when they don't listen to God. People get in trouble. We talk about the grace of God that brought salvation. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, I heard today that if they hadn't, somebody else would. But if sin had not come into the world, would we need grace? I don't believe we'd need grace. God made us upright. He made us in His own image. He made us in righteousness, and righteousness is all that man would have known, and we wouldn't need grace. And God could still come down in the cool of the evening and visit us all, and it would just be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? But because of sin, we need grace tonight. We need grace. And folks, we are living in a time where people have their own minds and their own thoughts of what sin is. Sin has been watered down. Right among us, saints. Right among us, folks. It's been watered down. I heard a brother say one time, people don't want to call something sin because they don't want to have to die to it. And that's the truth. There's a lot of truth in that, folks. Sin is one of the definitions that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Folks, there are people. Saul, he knew he shouldn't have done that. He knew he didn't listen. But yet he still argued. And when Samuel come back and said, "It is obedience is better than sacrifice." How else did he say that? "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." When I think I know better than God, when I think that's not going to hurt me, when I think that I know what the preachers say. I know how the church stands on those. I know this and I know that. I've heard it. Oh, it's just words. And now I'm going to make my own decisions. And now I'm going to go ahead and do the way I want to do it. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. In the fear of God tonight, it isn't that we, the older ones, like to tell other people what to do and how to live, folks. But when God says, and we don't do what God says, we're going to get in trouble. We're going to get in trouble. I thank God for the older ones that taught me when I was growing up. I thank God for them. I call them pillars. People that were faithful. I saw them die in the faith. I saw how they died. I saw how they lived. And I thank God for them. And I respected them for what they had learned. Their learning, their experience was so valuable. So valuable to me when I was growing up. Obey, he said, is better than sacrifice. You know, the Lord wants us to be obedient people. He wants us to be obedient. But back to my thought about grace. We are living today in the day of grace. This is the day of grace. I said this last weekend down in a little Kentucky meeting. Do you know what? You know what time it is? It's today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we need to get things straight with God. Whether we're saved or not saved, we need to get things straight with God. Whenever we know that God has pressed upon our heart, that the Spirit has dealt with us on whatever line that it may be, and we are rejecting that, we better get it straight. We better get it straight. I just came, some of you know that I just came a couple weeks ago from Newark, Ohio, did a funeral of a brother that was 60 years old. And he died suddenly. Suddenly. Totally unexpected. Wife called me, was down in Louisiana finishing up a revival meeting, and she said, "I'm stunned. I'm in shock. Can't cry. Have no emotion. I don't really have any feelings. I see his body." When I was there the night before the funeral, I stood there with her at the casket. She said, "I see him laying there." She said, "I see him laying there, but I still can't believe he's gone. It's a shock." They were out working in the yard. He was doing his thing. She was doing hers, and she had missed him. And so she went in the garage, and there he sat in the chair, dead. Just like that. Folks, they ain't none of us know when that may happen to us. But yet, I know, I've seen it time and time again, people will sit under the sound of the gospel, they will sit under the dealings of the Holy Spirit working upon their hearts and still not do business with God, knowing that if they went like that, they could very well be lost. Knowing that. Oh, I've seen it so many times. So many places, folks. God says what He means and means what He says. And with Him, it's not just mere words. His Word is eternal, isn't it? His Word is eternal. His Word is very weighty. It's very mighty. And we need to take heed to the Word. It broke my heart to stand there in front of this sister. And she's looking at her husband. "Can't believe it!" Well, I said, "You can't cry now, but the tears will come. When you get out of that shock," I said, "the tears have a language of all their own, and they'll come, and you'll be able to deal with it." But I sure felt sorry for that poor sister. I sure felt sorry for her. Their four grown children come from different places of the country. Each one of them said something real nice about their father. Couldn't believe it. All in shock. Here, now, gone, there. Just like that. Death can be that way, can it? We need to be prepared for that, folks. God said. And when God says it, He means it. He means what He says. His word won't return unto Him void. They have a meaning. They have a purpose. These meetings that we have. Saints, we get preached to a lot. And it's been real blessing. I'll give you that. I have really been soaking it up. I really enjoy it. And we need that encouragement. And we need that blessing. But I hear the prayer request, and the Lord's given me a real burden for souls that are not ready to meet God. Folks, it's time to get ready to meet God. Because we don't know the day or the hour. None of us do. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what tonight holds either. It's time to listen and take heed to the words of the Lord. I'd like, with that thought, I'd like to look at another scripture. It's found in Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter. He said, and I'll start above the verse that I want. Verse 8 says, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war." There's nothing we can do to change that. "Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had done so done. This also is vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Adam and Eve did not physically die when they disobeyed the Lord. Saul did not physically die when he first disobeyed the Lord. But because they didn't die, they were put out of the garden. And it wasn't very long they had children. And it didn't take those children very long to begin to do things too. It didn't take very long for Cain to rise up and kill his brother Abel, did it? And he wasn't put to death immediately for that. There was a curse put upon him, and he had to go out with that. But folks, sometimes we get the idea, I'm going to go out in the world, I'm going to enjoy the world, and I'm going to enjoy the pleasures, and when I get a little older, like the rest of those old people in there, when I get a little older, then I'm going to come back, give my heart to the Lord, and get ready to die. Well, that's really good if it'll work that way. But you don't have the promise of it working that way. You don't have that promise. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Folks, there are people today that have the idea, I'm enjoying the pleasures. Preacher, you keep telling me that I'm going to die one of these days. You keep telling me that sin will separate me from God. You keep telling me about the pleasures of the world and how deceitful they are. Folks, let me tell you tonight, it is true and it is real. And you may not die just because you went out and did something that you wanted to do that you knew was wrong. How many people are doing what they want to do that they know is wrong? So think about it. But there's a lot of people doing what they want to do and know that what they're doing is wrong. I know. I've been there. I've been there. Did it for a long time too. No, you got to tell your conscience something when you go out there and do those things, folks. You've got to appease that conscience that you have that tells you what you're doing is wrong. Before you can go out and sin, you got to tell it something. And I wonder if there's anyone here tonight telling your conscience something. Trying to appease and justify what you're doing. Lord, help us, all of us tonight, not to justify ourselves before God. The Lord spoke to the Pharisees and said, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before God." Just because you can go out, just because you're enjoying the pleasures of sin, the pleasures of the world, and you haven't died yet, because it wasn't executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and what did he say to the people there? He said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." That is a hard-hearted, rebellious generation. Save yourselves from that. Folks, we are in a generation of time where our young people don't realize, many of them don't realize how serious things have gotten. We don't realize because man has rejected the word of the Lord, because our country has rejected the word of the Lord and turned their back on God and lost our moral basis, our moral foundation, the moral fiber of this country has been destroyed because we have not listened to the word of the Lord. They don't realize what a serious place that we're really in. Makes me think of when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And young people, we love you. You wouldn't believe how I've stayed on my face and prayed for our young people. You are important to us. We need you, the future church. We're dependent on you. We're counting on you. We love you. You're very special to us. But I think about when the angels came and visited Lot and said, get out of this place because God's going to destroy it. And he said, "Do you have anybody else here? Any other family?" "Well, yeah, I got my daughters and sons-in-law." "Go tell them. Go get them. You got to get out of here." Because the angel said, "God can't do anything until you get out of here." I'm paraphrasing. "Until you get out of here. God can't do anything." Folks, I want to stop there for just a second. When we're begging God and asking God to do things for us, and we know in our hearts that we are not keeping the word of the Lord, He can't do it. Understand that tonight, folks. He can't do it. We may plead and beg and cry for God to do something for us, heal us, or give us something or help us with something. We may do that. But if we have not met His conditions, if we are not being obedient to what His will is for us, He can't do it. Good, well-meaning people beg God for things that God cannot do because He will not go over His word. He won't go over His word. He won't do it. So Lot goes down to his sons-in-laws and he tells them, "We got to get out of town because God's going to destroy this city." You know what the Bible says, don't you? It says that he was as one that mocked unto them. I want you young people to remember this. Those sons-in-laws and those daughters were born in Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes. That's all they knew. That's all they knew. That sin that was all around them, that depravity, and all that wickedness that grew up with it, they got used to it. They got desensitized. This is what life is. I've got a grandson that finished his freshman year in college, and you know, he doesn't understand. Well, this is what life is all about. There are many of us in here tonight that have knew what it was about before this ever came. Lot knew that there was something better than Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew a life before Sodom and Gomorrah. There's saints and folks in here tonight that knows what this world was like before it has gotten into the shape that it's in now. The young folks, this is all you know. This is all you understand. It's all you've ever seen. But please, hear the word of the Lord. Folks, young folks, the Lord is going to destroy this whole earth one of these days because of the wickedness of sin that has gone up before God. He's going to destroy it. That's all they knew, and it said He was as one that mocked unto them. "What are you talking about? There's nothing wrong with this." He said, "We got to get out of here. Folks, it's time to get in the ark of safety.
Yes. Amen.
It's time to get out of there. If you're doing things you know you shouldn't be doing, if you're out in sin, or if you're professing to be saved, and you know that your profession, that your walk is not keeping up with your profession, it's time to take care of that. It's time to take care of it. It's time to hear the word of the Lord, to what the Lord has to say to us. The Lord is so faithful and so good to speak to our hearts. He said it wasn't His will that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. If Saul would have only listened, Adam and Eve got put out of the garden. Saul lost his kingdom. His kingdom, he said, would be rendered from him. He lost it. God had already prepared another man to take his place, David. God, when He speaks to us, when He shows us what our needs are, that's really the time to do something about it. It's really the time to do it. It's the time to do business with the Lord. And we get the idea sometimes, well, I'm just going to go out for a little while. I'm just going to enjoy this for a little while. I won't go that far. I won't go out there and I won't do the drugs. And I won't do the alcohol. And I won't do those things. Let me tell you, take a good look. I know better than that. I know better than that. Been there. Not the drugs, but the alcohol. I know better than that. You get it in your mind, I'm not going to go that far. Good, well-meaning people. People that have sat among us, among our congregations, in our worship services, that went out there. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not, but there's some things that I want to do with my life. Things I want to enjoy with my life. But I won't go that far. That's human reasoning. That's the way the human mind understands things. And I want to say in closing, and I've told this before, some of you probably heard it by now. Got a brother-in-law. Had a brother-in-law, excuse me. That was a very intelligent man. He had a doctorate degree in chemistry. He and I used to sit, and he would carry on the conversation, and every once in a while I'd nod my head up or down or sideways, and I didn't have a clue what he was saying. He used words I never heard in my life, but he seemed to really enjoy talking to me. He'd go on for hours, and he was a nice guy. I really liked him, my wife's brother. He died last year. Sometime in just the last few months, his family got word of a couple statements that he made. He said, I would rather burn in hell than to acknowledge Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He said, if that's all that we're going to do when we get to heaven is worship God for eternity, I'd rather burn in hell than to think that that's all I was going to do. Now, folks, those are words. Those are words spoken by a fool. There's a word spoken by a man that had all kinds of education in this world. You can go out there and seek for it. You can seek for all the things that you want to try to get out of this world. And this man had all kinds of understanding of human wisdom. But he did not have an understanding of an almighty God. He did not have an understanding of what hell really is. And yet that brother, you talk about sending chills through his sisters. My wife could not hardly take it when she got that news. And yet tonight, he is there with that rich man in torment because he chose to rather burn in hell than to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Folks, let me tell you something tonight. There's a lot of the ministers here and saints here that never went out in the world. And I sure thank the Lord for it. I wished I hadn't. But you know, I'm going to take the experience I have, the experience that I have, and I'm going to try my best to help you understand. If you choose to go out into the world, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you can put that in the books, folks. That is a law of nature. What you sow, you are going to reap. I am reaping things today because I went out in sin away from the Lord. Backslid. Went out into the world. Went into pretty deep sin. And I'm reaping it tonight. I'm going to tell you, it's real. It's real. Don't make a fool's choice. Don't make a fool's choice. The man, as brilliant as he was, I really liked him. I mean, he was a nice guy. But he had no concept of who God was. He had no concept of eternity, of heaven and of hell. He had no concept. The Bible says, fear God and keep His commandments. Folks, don't lose the fear of God. Don't lose your fear of God. That's what brought me back. I didn't lose my fear. I didn't lose the fear of God. And God came looking for me. But folks, when you can go out there and you can tell your conscience something and knowingly do things that you know you ought not to do, you have lost some respect for God, of who God is and what God can do. Jesus said, don't fear Him that can destroy the body, didn't He? But fear Him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. I have a great respect for God, a great fear of God. I've always had it. Thank the Lord for it. But it's a foolish man to make a statement like my brother-in-law made. Foolish. Foolish. And he's met his statement. He's met his word, folks. And one of these days, every one of us are going to meet his words. We're going to meet his words. It ain't going to be a prophet Samuel. It's not going to be one of us preachers here. But you're going to stand. And you're going to give an account according to his words. Because Jesus said, the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. Oh, folks, with all the things that we know that are happening and going on in this world, I'm so glad to know that God is going to be a just judge. He's going to judge justly. He's going to do it. We sit around, we hear people say, God's not going to send a soul to hell. No, He won't. But we all have a choice, don't we? We choose. We are choosing. As I heard a brother say at home, in life there's a lot of choices. But when it comes to eternity, there's only two. And we're choosing one or the other. When we reject, when we rebel, against mom and dad, when we rebel against the truth, when we say, preacher, I don't want to hear that anymore, I've heard it so long, I just don't want to hear it anymore. Lord, have mercy on you. Because right now, tonight, the Lord is having mercy. As long as you've got breath, the Lord is extending mercy, isn't He? As we sing a song and make an entreat, whoever we are that has a need, and the Lord has spoken and told us, and our mind goes back, and the Lord said, I've told you this time and again, you still haven't done it. You still haven't taken care of it. You still haven't taken care of business. It's time to take care of business. This is what it is. Today is the day of salvation. That's what time it is. And He said, harden not your hearts as they did back in Moses' day. Lord, help us tonight. Amen.